Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'd like to just start by saying a special thank you to all of our ushers and our greeters who are so faithfully here Sunday after Sunday. We are so grateful for your commitment. And if you have some interest in being a greeter or an usher, you can reach out to me or you can reach out to Laura Packard. She can help you with the whole greeter part. Beth Johnson is not here today. She's returning from Florida, but she is also a part of our usher group, or Willie. If you've got some interest in being a part of an usher, we would love for you to join those ranks. We could always use some more. We could always use more greeters. And it's not a very difficult job. I've seen each one of you smile. That's the job requirement. So if you can help with being a greeter somewhere along the way, we would love for you to be a part of that. So our Gone Fishing series is continuing, and we have been looking at fishing stories from the Gospels. We've looked at several different stories, but last week we looked at the parable of Jesus talking about the good fish and the bad fish. He talks about how at the end times, the angels will come and separate the good fish from the bad fish. But one of the things that we talked about was that we, the church, are the net. We are the ones that are responsible for gathering all of the fish that we can gather, and that it is God's place and God's place alone to judge the good fish from the bad fish. So it was not an actual fishing story, it was a parable. Well, today we are just talking about fish, like fish ready to eat fish. So somebody was fishing, so we have fish. So that's what our story is about today. You might know this story as the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Now this is the only miracle that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels in the same way, which tells me this is an important part of Jesus's ministry. This is an important part that all four Gospel writers wanted to make sure we got this story. Now, don't get this one confused with the feeding of the 4,000, which appears in Matthew and in Mark. So there's actually in Matthew and Mark, there's two sets of miraculous feeding stories. So this is the one that's in all four, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. So our fishing story this week comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's the 14th chapter, verses 13 through 21. Hear these words. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. So our text picks up with this phrase. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to go to a deserted place. What has just happened? He has just discovered that John the Baptist, his cousin, is dead. So Jesus is, I would imagine, sad. I would imagine that Jesus wants to go off. I mean, the scripture says, to a deserted place. So he gets in a boat to go across the lake to go and maybe mourn the loss of his cousin, maybe just kind of regroup. I mean, Jesus has this plan to go off and be by himself. But by this time, Jesus is kind of like a rock star, and he's just got people that are following him all over the place. And so he gets to this deserted place where he plans to go spend some time alone, and there's 5,000 people to greet him on the shore. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had had that plan, I had had that experience, and I was ready to go off and be by myself, I might have been a little annoyed that there were 5,000 people waiting on me. Well, I'd probably be scared too, but. So I wonder if Jesus was annoyed. Maybe he was a little sad that his plan to go and mourn didn't really happen. But the text tells us that Jesus looked on them and he had compassion for them. And he healed their sick. So Jesus had a plan to go do something, and this crowd short-circuited his plan. And the scripture says he had compassion for them. I mean, in the first two sentences of this scripture, we have a lesson for us as followers of Christ. And this may shock you, but it is not about you. It's not about your plans. It's about what the Spirit leads us to do. We see right here that Jesus has a plan, and it is interrupted by the children of God. And Jesus takes a look at them and feels compassion for them. Jesus puts his agenda aside and takes care of those in need. Do you ever do that? Do you ever abandon your plans in order to do something that the Holy Spirit has perhaps laid in front of you? I mean, Leanne, not too long ago, shared a story of the Holy Spirit telling her to pay for somebody's groceries. That little voice that you hear that says, do some random act of kindness or treat somebody with some respect that you might not even know. That's the Holy Spirit working in and on you and ultimately through you. I don't know about you, but I know I sometimes fail at that. Just last week, I was gassing my Suburban, which you gotta gas often. And a guy had paid cash for like $15 for gas. And he had a truck, he was a working guy. He put $15 in it and the Holy Spirit says, go fill his tank. But I didn't. Because it was kind of awkward, kind of weird. And I was late. I needed to get to work on time. And I ignored it. And to this day, it just was a week or so ago, I'm ashamed that I let my agenda, my plans, my desire to be at work by 8:30 to override something that I knew the Spirit was telling me to do. So how often is it that you put your agenda aside to do what it is God might be calling you to do? And I love this next part. It's just one of my favorite parts in the whole Bible because it just speaks to me so clearly as to what we are supposed to do as followers of Jesus. So they saunter up to Jesus, right? And they go, hey, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere. It's getting late. These people are going to get hungry. Send them away so they can get some food. And Jesus looks at them and says, they don't need to go away. You feed them. I hear God saying that to me all of the time. You feed them. You care for them. Jesus says they don't need to leave. You take care of it. The truth of this is that Jesus does some of his best work through his followers. You remember the sending out of the 70? They were empowered to cast out demons and heal the sick. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Jesus sends us out to do his work. Now look, Jesus could only be the one that did some things, right? He did a lot of work. He healed a lot of sick. He cast out a lot of demons. And the truth is, the work of salvation could only be done by Jesus. God himself on the cross. And Jesus accomplished that work of salvation. But this text reminds us that it is not enough for us just to pray for God to feed the hungry in our community. No. Jesus says to us, you feed them. We do a pretty good job of this. We're part of the Humble Area Assistance Ministries. We send them food. We send them money. We send folks to them for help and rent assistance and other things. I mean, hopefully after this, you all will go and bag food that will go out to the hungry in our community. But how much more could we do? We see that Jesus uses his followers to do miracles. He can even do miracles through you. Yes, you. So that first truth of this text is that God, Jesus, needs to use us to accomplish the miracles that he wants to happen in this world. The second truth is that we as disciples, we can't always focus on the resource end. We can't always focus on the enormity of the task that God has laid before us. We have to look beyond what appears to be the problem. And we have to look towards the provider. I think Jesus' prayer in this text is instructive for us. They got, call it 8,000 people. They only counted the men back then. So it was 5,000 men plus women and children. Call it 8,000 people. And they got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. When Jesus prays here in this text, he doesn't say, hey, big guy, I got a lot of people to feed and not much here. Can you help a brother out? No. He just gives gratefulness for what they do have. And we know the rest of the story, right? That those 5 loaves of bread and those 2 fish fed everyone, and they had leftovers. The lesson that we need to learn from this is that we can't be overwhelmed by the problem or the task. Now, I don't know what the disciples said to themselves after Jesus said, you feed them, we've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But I bet it went something like, I don't think it's going to work. I mean, look at all those folks. We got 5 loaves of bread
and two fish? I bet they were kind of doubtful because they were focused on sort of the problem, not the kingdom aspect of what God could do. The lesson that we need to learn from this is we can't be ever overwhelmed by the problem or the task. So we're going to try an experiment. We'll see how this works. It didn't work so great at 9, so. But the whole key is you focusing on what I'm telling you to focus on, okay? So I want you to hold up in front of your hand 4 fingers. Front of your face, and look at your hand. You see 4 fingers, right? Got to hold them pretty far out. Now, I want you to hold them up in front of that stained glass cross up there, and focus on the cross. Don't look at your fingers. Look at the cross. How many fingers do you see? 8? 8. You ought to see 8 if you're focusing on this. But here's what you need to notice about that. The second that you take your eyes off of that object on which you are focused, you're faced with your 4 fingers again. And so we, as followers of Christ, we've got to keep our eye on the cross. We have to keep our eye on the kingdom, on what it is that God is calling us to do. So I have had a real live experience with fishes and loaves, except it was cold cuts and crackers. But I was an associate pastor in Lufkin, Texas in 2005. Now, I don't know what you remember about 2005, but I remember Katrina and Rita and Ike. And we were a Red Cross shelter for the Katrina evacuees. And tell you some stories. And we literally had just got rid of them. They had just left. And here comes Rita. And that was, you know, it was sort of like the perfect storm because everybody was looking at all the people in Katrina that were getting rescued off their rooftops, which had everything to do with building a place below sea level and nothing really to do with the hurricane. But that was all on everybody's minds. And the mayor of Houston, 3 days before the hurricane hits, says, everybody run and flee. And then it takes a turn, right? And it heads towards Port Arthur. And so now they're having to leave, and they can only come west because of the damage of what's happened in Katrina. And so the population of Lufkin tripled in 48 hours. I went into the grocery store. It was apocalyptic. There was nothing in the grocery store. Canned sardines, which is nothing. As Rita was coming up the Texas coast and into the piney woods, we had 700 evacuees in our church. We had them stashed in every single nook and cranny, everywhere but our sanctuary, and it's because our sanctuary had tons and tons of stained glass. The storm is coming, storm is raging, and we have to feed these people. It's lunchtime, and the storm is raging all around us, and we have 6 to 7 different buildings there in Lufkin, and we literally have people stashed everywhere. And we have to feed them lunch in the middle of the storm. And so we get all the stuff together. What do we have to feed them? And we open up our refrigerators. And we've got a bunch of cold cuts, some crackers, and some bottled water. And so there's 4 or 5 of us, and we're looking at this. We're like, no way. No way can we feed 700 people with this. So we start. And we just go building to building, building to building, offering people cold cuts and crackers and bottled water. And when it was all said and done, everybody got their fill. We walked up to everybody and said, look, the storm is raging. We don't have any power at the moment, so this is what we got. They were all grateful. Every one of them was grateful for what they received. And when it was all said and done, we fed everyone and actually had some leftovers. It was crazy. It really was a story of fishes and loaves for us. You know, another example for us in this church, in February, when we had that big freeze, our whole life center was flooded, inches of water all over the floor. And not one person in this church was wringing their hands, going, oh, woe is me, what are we gonna do? We just set about fixing it. I mean, do you remember that day when we moved all the stuff over from the Life Center into here so that the preschool could carry on? I mean, your Sunday school classes were stuffed with kids' stuff. On a Monday morning as I'm walking through here, I can't go anywhere without kids going, hey, Pastor Mike. Hi, Pastor Mike. It was awesome. We had kids stashed in every nook and cranny of this church. But we kept our eye on the big picture, on what God wanted to do with us in this church. And we actually used it as an opportunity to fix some things that we had over there. So we have experience with this idea of keeping our eyes on the cross, keeping our eyes on the main thing. We can do this. The lesson from this text is that sometimes it is our place to go and do and have faith. Now look, your pastor's not telling you to go out and do stupid things. I recognize that some things require some planning. You need to plan to do some things. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says go and do, and that's what you should do. But we also need to be smart about how we do things. But the truth of it is, you can become immobilized by planning. You can plan and plan and replan and plan until nothing happens. That old Chinese saying, the first a journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Sometimes as a disciple of Christ, it is our place to go and do. Yes, we need to plan. Sometimes we need to wait on God's timing. But I think mostly we need to do and trust. Trust that God will bless our efforts, that we as followers of Jesus will be the ones that he can do miracles through. Can you imagine the surprise on the face of the disciples, as I'm sure they were doubting that we can't feed this many people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And that they got leftovers. What can you do with 2 fish? Do you have the faith, the courage to take the 2 fish and to go and feed or go and do what God is calling you to do? What can you do with 2 fish? Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we ask that you would give us the courage to step out in faith. Step out in faith and to do that you are calling us to do. We ask, Father, that you would be with us and guide us and lead us, that you would help us to not focus on the resource problem, to not focus on the enormity of the task that you have placed before us, but to do and to trust. Father, we ask that you would help us to put our own plans aside and take up that you would have us carry, that you would have us do for you and for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen.